4 years ago, Murray Rhodes was a full-time electrician running a small business in Kununurra. In his spare time, he might have a chance to fire up the electric keyboard and play a few tunes which he'd taught himself to play. And if it wasn't for one night, the first time he played the piano for other people, he still might be a Sparky. Instead, Murray's now a full-time musician with 8 albums, and the Little White Tradies van is now his touring music van. Murray starts his story with that night he had his first public outing at a piano masterclass in Kununurra.
Oh, look, it was a cracker. It was scary as anything. I didn't know what I was doing or where I was going. For 20 years, I was just a backyard tinkerer. And I'd never done any lessons. And I came up to Kununurra and I had my business running. And I got this email saying, a masterclass out at Zebra Rock Gallery. And I thought, the only master thing that I knew was MasterChef on TV. And it was like, I better go up there and check it out. So I did. I went up there, knocked off from work, and it was sort of getting pretty dark, and I walked up to the gallery. I looked in and slid the door open, and it was chock full of little girls and their mums. And I had no real idea. I didn't know whether I was in the right place or not. And a lady turned around, and she smiled and said g'day. We sort of had a chat, and I had to ask her if I was in the right place, and she said, no, you're in the right place. Well, I sat down, the night began, I sat down and I was watching the girls getting up very bravely, and they sat down and they played their pieces, and Irina, the instructor there, the master, she would just give them some nice little bits of advice and help them along the way. And after about 3 or 4 girls that went up, the lady who met me at the door, she sort of said, is it possible for us to have any of our adult players play? And she just turned around and looked straight at me, and I thought, bugger. I was shaking, my fingers were shaking, and I'm thinking, what's going to go on here? And I was in front of this beautiful grand piano, which I'd never touched one before. It was like, wow. I have to do something, I have to perform. So one of my default, I couldn't possibly make a mistake, was just a little bit of boogie-woogie. And so I got into the boogie-woogie, and I was doing that for a couple of minutes, and then I'm thinking, I'm wondering all the while I'm playing this, I'm having a good time, and then I stop and I'm thinking, I wonder if that was any good. And the whole room was kind of silent, and I looked up, and their eyes were wide open, their mouths were aghast, and then the clapping happened, and they loved it. So that just gave me this whole big confidence boost, and because there's pieces like this that take me ages and ages to learn by the dots. Of course, I'm only like had my kid sort of lessons, so I could only read the dots one at a time, basically. But I broke into the Moonlight Sonata, and I think that the jaws just literally hit the floor again. You know, here's this backyard electrician bloke. He just comes up and does this, and it just surprised everyone. And by the end of it, it was just a beautiful moment. It took such a long time to learn songs using the dots and the bits and pieces. And what I did was, eventually, I ended up trying to figure out how to write songs. What I can only call as an instinctive tinkering. improvising a lot of the notes. What I did was I started writing a song, and I would shut my eyes and listen, because that's basically how I played normally, was with my eyes shut, and I wouldn't necessarily be playing any song in particular, but I'd just fiddle around with the keys and I'd come up with a nice sound. When I came up with a nice sound, I'd open my eyes and I'd have a dictionary of scales and chords, and then I'd look at my fingers, I'd see what notes I was holding, and then I would look it up in the chord dictionary and go, That's a D minor. So I'd write that down next to some lyrics that I'd written, and that's how I actually learnt all the different chords that I'm playing. So that was more or less my technical advances.
Well, the bottle of red A bottle of red Sharing memories with friends Bruce and Mike and Sarah While the list yet never ends
And you actually outfitted your electrician's van as your musical van, didn't you?
Yes. It's got a nice bed in there with an aircon, and it's got the piano in there. So it did. The tradies van very quickly lost the tradies van composure and turned into a muso's van.
Oh, I'll fill the tank, the motor's on. We're leaving the city, the road is long. Now the traffic fades at every mile.
You're listening to Murray Rhodes on ABC Radio. He swapped his electrician's toolbox and retrofitted his tradesman's van to kit himself out as a full-time musician. He taught himself how to play and how to write songs, and in the space of the past 4 years, he's now released 8 albums.
Grandad was an Anzac, like in stories that we tell. Australia, New Zealand, Army Corps became brothers in arms in a place like hell.
Tell me a little bit about your granddad, Dusty Rhodes.
It's an amazing bloody story. Sorry, but it is. He's in terms of, you know how we think about how lucky we are to be here? Man, I've got to be the luckiest bloke on the planet. He came over to Australia as a backpacker, the equivalent of a backpacker, which back then was, a Matilda was a swag, and he was basically waltzing a Matilda.
And this was back in 1911, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
I love how he was given his Aussie nickname. Typical of Australians to rechristen someone. Tell me why he was called Dusty.
Oh, righto. Well, my last name is Rhodes. And, of course, one of the things that happens is out in the bush, there weren't too many tarred roads out there, so they're all dusty. And, of course, well, Dusty Rhodes, it's a nickname and it's a good one.
So Walter becomes Dusty Rhodes, the boy from Yorkshire becomes an Aussie, but he heads back overseas, doesn't he? He joins the AIF in 1914.
He does. He joins up, and he tried to get onto the light horse, but of course he flunked the riding test, and then he just joined the 12th Brigade. So it was, or the 12th Battalion, and it was that was his journey when he jumped on the boat heading off to Gallipoli. I mean, what's really nice about that song is that years ago, one of my uncles, he recorded Grandad in one of his, as Grandad got older, and of course we've got the transcripts of those tapes, and Grandad was telling the stories about when he was over there doing it at Gallipoli and in the Somme. So he got on the boat in Fremantle and got off in Egypt, and then they were sent over to Gallipoli. He was there on the first day. He spent 6 months there. He got crook like a lot of them did, and what you don't get in the song is the second part of the story of how he came back. He actually got crook there, and they put him on a boat to England, but the boat landed him down in Malta, which is just up the road. So he spent a few months there getting fixed up in the hospital, and by the time he was ready to rock and roll, the boys at Gallipoli were starting to pull out. So he ended up spending a few months just around Malta until he was called up to go into the Somme, which is into France there, and it was like...
Gee, the fact that he survived both those bloody campaigns, Gallipoli and the Western Front, the fact that he survived is nothing short of a miracle.
It is. It is exactly that. And in fact, a year to the week of him landing in the Somme, he copped a bullet in his lung.
Well, he survived the August offensive, had to take Hill 971. A hell of a hill, an old Jackie Turk held on. After all said and done, the view was great while it lasted, but Jackie, he didn't stop. They came in as hell for weather, so we had to go back like hell. We heard the guns of Lone Pine, and we heard the light horse copping it in the neck. This was a place like hell.
And then, of course, he outlasted the war and came back, and he landed in Albany, where he went back to swagging, really. He probably had a bit of extra coin in his pocket, and I believe he went up to Port Hedland to work on the wharfs up there. And it's a bad story. It's a good story, but a bad story. He got a girl pregnant up there who just happens to be grandmum. And he left Port Hedland before knowing the fact. And her dad had to come all the way back down to Albany to find my granddad, and said, what are you going to do about this? Yeah, that's it. That's it. And he did. And he, you know, and he loved it. It was great. There's a little town in the wheat belt of Western Australia called Lake King. And, well, he didn't go there. It didn't exist when he was there. But he was up through those lakes regions. And he helped establish that little town. And he built the post office there. And that's basically where it left off. And that's where his legacy of the Rhodes family sprung.
Australia, New Zealand, Army Corps became brothers in arms. In a place just like hell.
Granddad was an Anzac. A new song from Murray Rhodes, and the Kununurra Sparky turned musician now travels Australia playing music. How about that for a career change?